You know, Jimmy, I'm getting a bit worried. The Richard Bentley Theatre is nearing completion, and I still can't make up my mind what to have as an opening attraction.
Well, I don't know, Bentley, but have you thought of something like the gang show?
Oh, the crazy gang would never work in Wapping. Besides, it's my theatre, and I'm looking for a vehicle for myself.
May I suggest a wheelchair? Anyway, the gang show that I meant was the one that the Boy Scouts do.
Oh, we'd never get them.
Well, you wouldn't get the Boy Scouts, but you could get the Wapping Girl Campers. They do a very similar show, but instead of all boys, it's all girls, you see.
Well, my idea of an all-girl show is the Folly Bechere.
Don't underestimate the Wapping Girl Campers. I met their troupe leader not 5 minutes ago. She was telling me they have a 2-hour show, and she's coming to see you about it.
Oh, well, it might be worth considering.
Well, frankly, I doubt it. I tried to head her off. She seemed determined. Oh, look out, here she comes.
Oh, there you are, Jimmers. You can't give me the slip.
Jimmers? Oh, that's Rick. Jimmers.
Oh, hello. You must be Denters. I'm Miss Clutterbuck.
How do you do, Clutterbuck?
I've been telling Jimmers that you should let my girls do their show in your theater. It's a feast of fun and music.
I'll bet.
We do a lot of work for charity, you know. People say we're almost a professional standard.
Yes, and of course professional standards are slipping these days. Tell Benters about the show. I'm sure he'll be impressed.
Yes, well, there's our first scene. 400 girl campers march on, dressed as soldiers, sailors, and airmen, and sing 3 rousing choruses of Wapping, 'Tis of Thee.
Very moving.
Well, after 3 choruses of that, I don't think I could move. I'd be rooted to the spot in sheer horror.
Well, scene 2 is rather nice.
Yes, yes, hold on. You say you have 400 girls dressed as soldiers, sailors, and airmen.
Yes.
Have you ever thought of having them come on dressed as girls?
Why, no. Do you think it'd work? Well, anyway, then comes Audrey Popplewell. Wonder Girl Impression.
Oh, good old Poppers.
Oh, how did you know we called her Poppers?
It just seemed inevitable to me somehow.
Well, she's awfully good for her age, you know. She looks just like the people she impersonates.
Yes. Who does she do?
Herbert Lom. Oh. And then there's Gary Cooper. Of course, he has to stand on my shoulders for that one.
What follows that?
What could follow that?
Well, then, as a matter of fact, it's my turn.
Oh,
I sing my own compositions, you know.
Yes.
Would you like me to give you a few bars? I brought one of the Wapping Girl Campers to play the piano for me. Are you ready, dear?
Yes, Miss Clutterbuck, ready when you are.
Is that a typical Wapping Girl Camper?
Oh, well, hardly. It's just an honorary member, one of the girl's fathers.
Oh, that's a relief.
I shudder to think what 400 of those would look like marching onto the stage.
Look, Clutterbuckers, you go over and have a word with Semprini there. I'd like to confer with my colleague.
Oh, right, sir. Won't be a sec.
Yes. Jimmy, we can't possibly put her show on at the Richard Bentley Theatre.
I believe they do actually work for nothing, you know. I mean, these girls.
Oh, yes.
And
they're
bound to bring lots of children in, and we could just turn the central heating on full blast and you'll make a fortune on the ice creams.
Yes, well, you have a point there. After all, it is the first duty of the theatre to make a profit.
Well, yeah, I had a word with my pianist, Deviston Huffers.
Well, she wouldn't keep using that vile mode of address, Featherston Huffers.
Oh, but that's his real name.
Oh, well, never mind, as long as he's healthy. Now, what have you decided to sing?
Well, it's called To Hector. Oh. Are you ready, dear?
Yes, he can go.
Happy dear, thy name is Hector. Happy dear, thy name is Liv.
Thank you very much, thank you very much. Perfidy, thy name is Clutterbucker.
Well, gentlemen, what did you think?
Well, I'm sure you're just what the Richard Bentley Theatre deserves.
Oh, thank you. We'll put on a splendid show. And, of course, I needn't add that all profits go to any charity you care to name. Well, bye-bye, Benton. Bye-bye, Jimmer.
I'll escort you to the door. I think I know the very charity to suggest.
Oh.
The very charity? What does he mean?
Well, that's settled, then. I've named the charity.
Well, what charity? What are you talking about?
Well, I've told old Clutterbuckers that we donate the takings to the JBBF.
The JBBF? What's that?
The Jimmers and Benters Benevolent Fund. I just started it this minute.
Jimmy, the very idea of pretending that we're a charitable organization. You think it'll work?
Why not? After all, Benters, charity begins at home.
First with the news. Take this week's front page story.
Man in shop battered.
Yesterday, Mr. Fred Holden fell into a fish fire.
Pet's Corner by Auntie Kitty.
Is your pussy lying in front of the fire, purring happily with a contented smile on his face? Then I would advise you to look and see if the bird cage is empty.
In the country with Hobnail.
Last week, I had the pleasure of inspecting the finest pair of calves in Sussex. I was judging a beauty contest.
And so to our main feature. And this week, we bring you a tough, brutal story of vice in New York, told by a nightclub pianist whose name is Johnny Pizzicato.
That's me, Johnny Pizzicato. I play the piano here at Nicky's place. This is the kind of music the customers like. It helps them forget things, like the prices of the food. Me, I dig the classics, Chopin, Tchaikovsky, and all that jazz. This is me you hear playing now. And this is my other piano. I was sitting playing one night when a girl came into the club and walked towards me. From the minute she spoke, it was pretty obvious.
T-R-O-U-B-L-E.
This dame spelt trouble.
Are you Johnny Pizzicato?
Yeah.
I'm Maxine.
Hi.
I'm in trouble, Johnny. Real trouble. You gotta help me.
Oh, wait a minute. Haven't I seen you somewhere?
Could be. I often go there.
Yeah. Yeah, Maxine Vermont. I've seen your pictures in the papers. Haven't you just married one of the wealthiest men in America?
That's right. He's a disc jockey. But, Johnny, this morning I got a letter. It was signed, The Big Man. He wants money, Johnny. $10,000, Johnny. If I don't pay, he's threatened to tell my husband something he doesn't know about.
Not the birds and the bees.
No, Johnny. Something about me. I made a mistake once, Johnny.
We all make mistakes.
Now, this was a bad mistake, Johnny. It isn't easy to tell you. Johnny,
okay, Maxine. Give it to me straight.
Johnny, I was an aniseed ball addict.
Maxine, is this true?
Yeah, it's true, Johnny. I started in a small way with the half penny ones, and then I had to have more. I went on to the penny ones. And then, Johnny, then it was those big ones that changed color.
Maxine, what a sucker you must have been. Tell me, did you break the habit?
Yeah, I finally broke it. They helped me, Johnny.
You mean Aniseeds Anonymous?
See, it's a long time ago, and now it's caught up with me. Will you help me, Johnny?
I think better when I play. Yeah, it figures. This is how I see it, Maxine. The blackmailer must know about your old habits. The big man could be the man behind the illicit smuggling of aniseed balls into the United States. Maxine, let me see that letter.
Here it is, Johnny, right here.
Yeah, this letter was typed on a Henry Schwaffer Mark 7 portable.
How do you know?
Look what it says here. This letter was typed on a Henry Schwaffer Mark 7 portable.
Then all we gotta do is find someone who uses that kind of machine.
Yeah, come on, let's go. We checked on 13,000 persons in the New York area alone, and as we questioned them, one important fact emerged. They all said the Henry Schwaffer Mark 7 portable was a lousy typewriter. Just as we began to give up hope, we made one last call to Mr. James D'Angelo, 243 Madison Avenue.
I didn't do it!
I didn't do what?
I didn't send a blackmail letter to Maxine Vermont. I'm not the big man, and I'm not behind the illicit smuggling of aniseed balls into the United States.
Come on, Johnny. We're wasting our time.
Wait a minute. I've got a feeling this guy knows something.
What makes you think that?
Oh, I don't know. Just a hunch. Look, Mrs. Angelo, we'd like to ask you some questions. May we come in?
Okay.
Now, first of all...
Let me do the talking.
Now, let me do the talking. I've stood back there for 3 pages. practicing my American accent. Who are you, anyway?
I'm Maxine Vermont.
Okay, and who's this with you?
I'm Johnny Pizzicato. I play the piano.
Do you always accompany her?
We'll ask the question. Look, Mrs. Angelo, we have reason to believe that you know something that we don't know. And if we knew what you know, we'd know more than we know now.
G'day. If I knew something more than you know about you-know-what, then who knows, I might have known you knew that I know more than you know. Right?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad we understand each other.
Pretty fancy apartment you got here, Mr. D'Angelo. 8 telephones.
Why not? I need them for business.
That must be a pretty phony business. Hey. What's in this suitcase?
Samples, Pizzicato. Business samples.
Yeah. What exactly is your business, D'Angelo?
Mothballs. I import them.
Are you trying to tell me that that's how you make all your money? You can't sell many mothballs in this city.
That's where you're wrong. I got another little business as well.
What's that?
I import moths.
Don't believe him, Johnny.
I don't. His story is full of holes. I'm going to open the case.
Oh, you don't!
Yes.
Put that case down!
I'm going to open this.
Johnny, look!
Yeah. Mothballs.
Now you're satisfied?
Come on, Johnny. It's no use.
Wait a minute. Let me see one of those. Just as I thought, a coating of icing sugar and underneath...
No, no!
Is it, Johnny?
Yeah, an aniseed ball.
Okay, Pizzicato, drop that.
Johnny? Johnny, he's got a gun.
You too, Maxine, get over there.
So you are the big man. Yeah, I see it all now. It's a pretty sweet racket. But tell me, D'Angelo, how did you peddle them across the border?
On a bicycle.
You won't get away with it.
Oh, yes, I will. No one's going to break up my aniseed ball empire, and you're the only ones who know.
No, don't shoot.
Okay, D'Angelo, drop that gun.
Who's this guy?
I'm Lieutenant Marvin Aniseed Squad. We heard everything.
Even that terrible one about the phony business?
I'm afraid so.
Oh, dear.
Take him down to headquarters for questioning.
Oh, I refuse to say anything. Stop taking a shower. Then I'll come clean.
Take him away.
No.
Well, Pizzicato, thanks. You helped us lick the aniseed ball racket.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. Thanks a lot.
Well, that's the story, the whole story, just as it happened. I might not be here to tell it if the cops hadn't shown up at the right time. That's the one thing that still puzzles me. How did they get to know what we knew before he knew that we'd come to know that we knew everything there was to know, and if they knew everything?
This is me drinking jacket, Chase.
Oh,
and them patches ain't leather, they're blotting paper. They stop up anything I spill.
Ah, but that's a rare event, Mr. Clumsy.
It may well be a rare event, but I'm not taking chances anymore.
No.
Not after my drinking wager come and suck the other night.
Oh, that was my night off, Mr. Clum. I never heard the full story of that.
Well, you pour us another brand, Ted, and you will.
I will.
While I was busily trying to earn myself a reputation as the Zap effect of the 4-Ale bar, Ron and S were at home on the sofa as usual, file watching.
To go out any more like other people. You've been sitting here for 5 nights in a row, Ron.
How can we be in a row if there's only two of us?
how I mean. I mean, well, sitting here with you is very nice.
Thank you.
Well, it's a bit samey, isn't it?
I've heard that you have to learn to live on love.
Who told you that?
My dad. Every Friday when he takes my dole money.
No wonder you haven't been able to save anything.
Well, that's where you're wrong, Aunt. I have been able to save something.
How did you manage that?
I lied to Dad about my dole. I've saved a little every week for years and years and years.
Oh, wrong. How much have you got?
22 and 6.
Oh. Well, I hope your father doesn't find out.
Oh, he won't, Ed. I've hidden it in a safe place.
Wonderful news, Ron. Just think, you're standing on your own 2 feet.
No, I'm not. I'm sitting in front of the fire.
Well, I mean, could if you wanted to.
No, I don't think I could, Ed.
Why not?
I've got my foot stuck down the back of the sofa.
Oh, well, I've warned you before about sitting like that, in that position. Oh, look, I'll press down on the upholstery, and you lever your foot out.
Yes.
Oh!
It's no good. Now, my foot's stuck fast. I'll just have to stay as I am.
Oh, don't give up, Ron. Oh. Remember the story of Bruce and the spider? Well, if Bruce had given up, where would he have been?
With his foot stuck down the back of the sofa,
Ed? No, look, I'll get the poker and lever you out. Here we are. Oh. That's no good. The poker's bent double and your foot's still caught.
Hello, hello, hello. What do you do with that poker, Ed? You've been having a lover's tiff?
No, Dad.
Never mind that, because I'm in a spot of bother. Ed, can you lend us a pound?
I'm afraid I can't, Mr. Plumpy.
Oh, that's categorical, isn't it? Have you got anything wrong?
Yes, Dad.
What?
My foot stuck down the sofa.
I was stupid even to ask.
Good evening, Mrs. Glum.
Hello, Mum.
Oh, Mother, I wonder if you'd like to lend me a pound. Funny, she couldn't have heard what I said.
Mr. Glum, why this sudden urgency to get a pound?
Yes, Dad, it's funny to see you home in the middle of the evening. I thought the pub had burned down.
Oh, I wish you'd had wrong.
Why? Whatever's up?
Well, you see, I had a bit of a wager, you see. I'm a bit of a betting man. Spurred on by greed, lust for power, and brown ale. I threw out a challenge as to who could lower 12 pints in the shortest space of time.
I should have thought that would have been an easy victory for you, Mr. Glum.
And that's what I thought, too, Ed. But I was robbed. I was got at. Oh, the humiliation of it. Oh, dear. Me, the champion boozer of the neighborhood. Beaten on pints. Oh, dear.
What happened, Dad?
I was nobbled. There I was, hardly a gulp from victory. And right at the crucible moment, my opponent jobbed my drinking elbow. By the time I'd wiped the froth off my dickie, he'd won.
And you didn't have any money to pay him?
Well, no, you see, I'd spent it all on the dress rehearsal, you see.
Well, I suppose it's the sport that counts, not the result.
As a matter of fact, that's what I explained to my opponent, but he turned very nasty when I told him I hadn't got the pound. Still, I kept my dignity. And I nipped out the side door when he wasn't looking. If only I could lay my hands on a pound, I could make a comeback.
Well, Dad, there's some money down the sofa. When I move my foot, I can hear it jingling.
Oh, can you, eh?
Yes.
Matter of fact, that's very likely. You often hear of people finding money hidden in an old sofa. Well, we'll just get you out, Ron, and then we can get at it. Just give us your hand. Come on.
Yes.
You are wedged, aren't you?
Perhaps there's something in the sofa pulling the other way.
Yes. Well, in that sofa, I wouldn't be at all surprised. It was past its prime when I got it. Goodness knows what object are lurking in its uncharted depths.
There's only one way we can get Ron free, Mr. Glum.
Right?
You'll have to unlace his boots, and then he can slip his foot out.
All right, then, Ron, go on, get unlacing.
All right. And that. I've done it. But I still can't move my foot.
Well, not that boot, you gormless twit. The one that's stuck down the sofa. Now, just slip your hand down the back of the sofa and unlace it.
Oh, all right, Dad. Oh. I've got my hand down. Now, where's my boot?
Ooh. What is it, wrong?
I've stuck my finger in something soft and fluffy.
Whatever can it be?
It feels like a hairy bread pudding.
Son?
Yes, Dad?
Pull it out.
Now, Dad, it might be something worse.
What could be worse than a hairy bread pudding?
All right. Here it is.
Oh, hold on. It's the ball of my wool mixed up with an old marshmallow.
Oh, I should say that's part eating. Oh. Here. Let me have a go now. If there's any money down there, I'll find it.
Well, hello. Hello, what's this? I think we've struck it rich. Here, it feels like coin. Here we are.
Oh, beer bottle tops.
Big enough, awesome.
Well, they're a relic of the party we had to celebrate the coronation. Now, what else is down there? Here, wait a minute. Here, what's this?
Oh, Mr. Clum.
What are they, Dad?
Well, I think, judging correctly, these are Mrs. Wilson's false teeth. Yes, there's the gaps you used to whistle through. Yes, that's right. It's another relic of that party.
Oh, look. I can see something glinting.
Is it money?
It's a pair of eyes, Dad. They're staring at me. I knew there was someone down there. Perhaps it's Mrs. Wilson.
Let me see her. No, it ain't her.
Hold on, it's your gollywog.
Ah. Oh, I remember I lost it ages ago.
Oh, when you were just a little boy?
No, it was last week. But it seems like ages ago.
Oh, there's no money in there.
But, Dad, I can feel it with my foot.
If I can't lay my hands on it, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
Open up, Glum. I know you're in there and I want the pound.
It's that McTavish from the boozer. He mustn't find me. I'll hide under the sofa. Here, you let him in. And Ron, if he inquires about my whereabouts, tell him I've gone on my holiday.
All right, I'm coming.
All right, all right. Where is he? Dad says to tell you he's gone on his holiday.
Oh, it has. And where has he gone, then?
Under the sofa.
Ah. Come out, Clum, come out.
Oh, hello. It's you, isn't it?
It is.
Fancy seeing you. Mr. McTavish, I was just having 40 winks.
Well, I want my pound, and no argument.
Oh, we ain't none of us got the pound.
Well, don't worry, Dad. I've got good news for you.
Yes, Clum, what is it?
I've got my foot out of the sofa.
Shut up. You've caused enough trouble for one day.
And you, Mr. Mack, whatever your name is.
Abby.
It isn't right for you to come elbowing your way into people's homes.
I want my winnings.
Well, I've told you we haven't got any money.
Oh, right then. I'll have it in kind.
I said you don't.
Aye, I'll take that clock.
Oh. It isn't going.
It is now, son. Well, I'll have that bar. Then plaster burr and joint. And then fire irons. Now, what else can I take?
Well, you'll find Mrs. Glum upstairs.
Aye, I saw a bike in the passage. I'll take that. And in future, Glum, don't make bets when you can't honor them.
Would you crazy, eh? He's denuded the whole house. All because I couldn't put my hand on a pound.
But, Dad, there was money down the sofa. 22 and 6.
Oh, don't talk quick. We all of us looked down there, didn't we? We looked down, didn't we? We couldn't find none, could we? I'll look again if it'll make journey up here. You see, there's nothing there.
Of course there isn't now, Dad.
Oh, Ron, stop talking in riddles. Why isn't the money there now?
Well, you know my life savings, Beth. My 22 and 6.
Yes?
I keep it in a sock.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
The stock was on the book that was stuck down the sofa.